At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
A warmer from Evo! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Peterson, now part of the Beast and Family Podcast. We've got an absolutely excellent podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two, you're going to have Curtis Rogers aboard. He does great work over at 710 Seattle Sports. He does an amazing job out 12 months of the year, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. And he's out there in a state where we saw a whole lot of coaching moves. Washington and Washington State have a new coach under the radar. Eastern Washington picks up Dan Monson as well, who became oh so famous with that Long Beach State run to the NCAA tournament. We're going to be talking about all of those coaching moves, but we're also going to be talking about Gonzaga as well with the Bulldogs and the fact that they are probably not going to be overly active here in the transfer portal. They pick up Michael Jay, but they're going to be bringing back a lot of pieces, and we're going to be talking about what the expectations should be for them for the upcoming season. We're also going to be talking about how Washington State is trying to turn the page now that they're a part of essentially the Pac-2 as well. So we're going to have some nice chatter there in the final segment. Going to give you guys a recap of the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Sunday. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways to offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at @GNet_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. And please do send in those questions, because typically I format my first segment around them, and I have not been getting in a lot of questions. I think that a lot of people are probably not looking too much at college basketball in April, but I'm here for you guys. I am looking at this every single day, but I tell you, with the conversation that we're going to have for Curtis, something that you do want to be very mindful of is these teams that they might not be making these flashy moves. These teams that they might not be bringing in a lot of guys in the transfer portal. These out-of-sight, out-of-mind teams might be the teams that you want to take a look at the most and you might want to be most stuck up on. Now, you don't want a team like Michigan State the last few years has been doing absolutely nothing in the transfer portal. You want to see these teams have a little bit of a pulse and show, okay, we're going to be willing to retool ourselves, but at the same time, a lot of the teams that have been successful in the NCAA tournament the last few seasons have a lot of returning pieces. They do have some nice camaraderie. You're going to be able to get that with Gonzaga this coming season with not really a lot of guys entering into the transfer portal as of now. Now, that could be changing within the next week or two, and I've been asked if I have like a way too early top 25 or anything like that. Answer is a very firm no. Anyone that does have this right now, they are pulling things out of their rear end. I wish I could put it any other way, but I don't know how you could have any sort of a top 25 right now with literally 1,760 players in the transfer portal, a whole bunch of NBA draft decisions, guys that are just at new spots with regards to coaching moves. And when you have a coaching move, that means that the guys that were at the previous school and they lose their coach are going to be entering in the transfer portal. You're going to have some guys that follow their coach. You're going to have other guys that do not. There's way too many elements. And on top of that, it's April 22nd. Like, I mean, if I gave you absolutely nothing else and just said it's April 22nd, I feel like that would be a very, very acceptable answer. Like, you just take a look at any sport, literally 2 weeks after the championship wraps up. So this is like trying to pick the next Super Bowl champion before you see anything in free agency, before you know if anyone retires or not. I do think that that's very, very difficult to do, especially college basketball. Like, at the very least in the NFL and the pros, you know that guys are under contract or anything like that. In college basketball, guys could come and go at their own leisure, but I do think that looking at these teams that they are actually staying, these teams that they're actually retaining a lot of their own, they are the teams that you want to be looking at again. You don't want it to be an end-all be-all, and you want to make sure that they're not completely sitting on their hands, but a school like Gonzaga, I think, is going to be able to provide a little bit of upside. Going to be interesting to see what UConn does, but if they can do what they did last offseason, land that one big guy like they were able to in Cam Spencer, I think that they're going to be in for another tremendous year as well, and we are in for a tremendous chat coming up next as Curtis Rogers, he does such good work over at 710 Seattle Sports. We're going to be taking a look at the Washington basketball landscape, all these new coaching hires, Gonzaga, and so much more right here on Coast Good Seats with myself, Brady Peterson, now a part of the Daily Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back to the lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Soups with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man. It's Curtis Rogers. He does absolutely amazing work over at 710 Seattle Sports, taking a look on so many different fronts. For those that are looking for some off-season college basketball, he's doing a great job covering all of these teams. What Gonzaga is going to be doing in the portal, Washington State and Washington. They've got new coaches. Heck, Eastern Washington has a new coach. I mean, pretty much everyone stands like Seattle, it feels like, has a new coach out there in Curtis's neck of the woods. Obviously, Gonzaga as well, Mark Few. Probably not going to be going anywhere anytime soon, but that said, a man that is pretty much the Mark Few of radio and is a constant is Curtis Rogers and his great work. You're able to follow him on Twitter/Instagram, and he came from Kent altogether. And for those that are baseball fans, he does a great job with the Seattle Mariners pre- and post-game hosting duties as well. And Curtis, always great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Hey, Greg, no problem. Yeah, changing of the guard here in the state of Washington. Nearly every Division I program touched, at least 60% of them. So we have got a lot going on here. I've had a chance to speak to a couple of the changes over the last couple of weeks. So it's been a whirlwind last few weeks since the NCAA tournament wrapped up, but definitely has made for some very interesting headlines over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, there is no question about it. And I mean, what I do like about all these hires is that darn near all of them do have familiarity with the area, because you did see Danny Sprinkle. He was over at Montana State and Utah State. So he, no doubt about it, he knows what he is doing with regards to the Pacific Northwest area, being able to decipher that. David Riley, he too was over there in the Big Sky as well. For David Riley, he was over there in the great state of Washington over at Eastern Washington. Now he steps up. He takes over this role as well, becoming one of the younger coaches that we've got at the Power Conference level. And then Dan Monson, he is going to be heading on over to the great state of Washington for Eastern Washington as well. As we know, him spending a lot of time out there in the Big West and spending time in Gonzaga, he's got ties as well. And just how big do you think it was that all of these teams in the state of Washington hired on guys with quite a bit of familiarity with the area?
Yeah, I think that was key, especially because of how fertile the recruiting ground has been out here over the last 30 years or so. It just seems like this region is at least one high four-star or one five-star kid every few years or so. That is definitely the case again this year with Zoom Diallo. We still don't know what he's going to quite do. He did commit to Washington under previous head coach Mike Hopkins, but has been kind of tight-lipped about what he's going to do going forward. I know Danny Sprinkle has mentioned that they are still actively recruiting Diallo, a tremendous prospect potentially if he does remain with the Huskies. I think you've got to find coaches that are familiar with the area. I like what the Cougs did with David Riley. You and I have talked about him a lot on this podcast over the last probably 2 years or so with just the job that he did at Eastern Washington. And then also he's bringing over one of his guys, Ethan Price. At least that's how it looks right now. It looks like he's going to be joining the Cougs. So you've got some familiarity with the area. Dan Monson, as we know, that's where he got his start, was as the head coach of Gonzaga before leaving to take the Minnesota job. Now he's back in the eastern part of the state at Eastern Washington. So great to have a lot of familiarity, and great to have, I think, Washington State, two coaches that are young in terms of head coaching experience, and I think they're going to be hungry. I think they're going to be really trying to prove themselves as lead guys. I think especially with David Riley being as young as he is, this is his first, not necessarily big-time job with Washington State playing in the WCC over the next couple of years, but definitely the biggest opportunity he's ever had.
And I think that that is right now the biggest question for Washington State. How in the heck is the schedule going to be looking, and are they going to be able to book enough big-time games to be able to make the NCAA tournament? Because it's pretty much a fact, too, at this point. There's been a lot of speculation. Are they going to be playing like a Mountain West schedule? You were alluding to a WCC schedule, and I think that that's a big burning question for they along with Oregon State, but more so with Washington State, because with Oregon State, it's been rough to say the least. And if they're out there in the WCC, I don't know if they would crack the top half of the WCC, certainly not the Mountain West.
Definitely not. And you've got now pressure with Washington State coming off of the NCAA tournament berth, the first NCAA tournament berth they've had since 2008. How do you go back and replicate that? How do you go back and continue the momentum that you had? I know, you know, all those NCAA tournament units that they acquired this past NCAA tournament, especially with the wins from Colorado and Arizona, like that's money that Washington State and Oregon State get a pocket, because technically they are still in the Pac-2 at this point. Like they never pulled the plug on that conference, so they get all of those NCAA tournament units. And, I mean, those are the most valuable things in college basketball. I mean, obviously, banners, those are great too. But, like, getting those NCAA tournament units, it's just investing back into your program. And that's money that all the departing schools in the Pac-12, that they don't get to touch that. That is all Oregon State and Washington State. So maybe they can use that to their advantage. I do know that in terms of contracts, what Kyle Smith was being paid this last season, I believe it is close to double what David Riley is making in his first season in the Palouse, which makes sense. I mean, that's a athletic department that is going through massive changes right now, and they are going to take their lumps, I think, over the next couple of years as they try to get some solid footing. But I do think that David Riley is going to make for a really good head coach at Washington State. I think of all the coaches that they were looking at, I know that they were looking at Montana State's head coach too, who spent a lot of time also in the eastern part of Washington. He coached at a small school called Whitworth for a number of years, won a ton of games at the D2 level because of, I think, the familiarity with Riley in the eastern portion of Washington. I think the Cougs are set up nicely, and I think the fact that he's young and hungry and really wants to prove that he can be a lasting head coach, I think works well for him and it works well for the Cougs.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I think that this is going to be tremendous what we're going to be seeing out of both of those Washington schools as Curtis Rogers, who does amazing work over at 710 Seattle Sports, is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops because we were talking about it. Those teams formerly of the Pac-12, they were so stubborn in making a move. And I do think that what Stanford was able to do, which put everything into place for Washington State, them bringing Kyle Smith, I thought that that was a great move by them. Rear end backwards move for Stanford because there are a lot of hires that they should have been making, but you know what? They landed on a very, very good coach, so a congratulations to them for somehow, some way being able to land that. But that said, I do take a look at them making that move, and I thought that that was big, and we've talked about it for years, the fact that Mike Hopkins, it felt like he was a cat with nine lives over at Washington. They just wouldn't can him, and finally, they make the move and they bring in Danny Sprinkle. And do you want to get your thoughts on just expectations for him? Because he only spent 1 year at, I guess you'd call it a little bit of a bigger program in Utah State, but that 1 year was tremendous. And we saw his work at Montana State just consistently getting better every single year.
Yeah, Sprinkle has been a hot name in this area for the last couple of years. It helps, I guess, that his dad was a Washington alum. He played on the football team years ago. I think it was in the 1960s. So that had Washington alums really excited for the prospect of bringing in somebody who's kind of in the family, so to speak. But yeah, what Sprinkle was able to do this last season at Utah State, nothing short of tremendous. I mean, we talked to their play-by-play man, Scott Gerard, who he was talking about how this is the fifth head coaching change he's had to go through in eight seasons on the job. But he goes, this is just kind of the life that it is at Utah State. If a coach has any kind of success, they're probably not going to stay very long. Sprinkle, if he does have success at Washington, I would expect him to stick around for a little longer. Now, the difference in taking the Washington job in 2024 compared to when Mike Hopkins took over is obviously you're entering a new conference. The Big Ten, while down, so to speak, I mean, they did have a team in the national championship game after all. When they are rolling, when the conference has its flagship universities playing to their highest potential, teams like Michigan and Ohio State, who are both down this season, when Michigan State is rolling with Tom Izzo, when Indiana, who has had a lot of success in the transfer portal early on here, I know they picked up Miles Rice, who had a tremendous season for Washington State. They also picked up Umar Ballo, too, from Arizona. So you look at just the competition in the Big Ten, he is going to be up against it. I get that the Mountain West this year was a really great conference, really fun conference, really deep conference, too, especially at the top. But the Big Ten, as we know, can be one of the best conferences in all of college basketball when everything is going their way. That is going to be the biggest challenge, I think, for Danny Sprinkle during his time at Washington. It's how can you get to the level of competing year in and year out in the top half of that conference, especially when it's 18 teams. And not only do you have the pre-existing Big Ten schools, but you're bringing over UCLA, who historically has been one of the blue bloods in college basketball. You're bringing over USC, which has had some pretty good years as of late. And Eric Musselman, I know, is going to bring a lot of energy to that program. That's just something that the Must Bus always does. So Washington is going to have, I think, a very tough transition to the Big Ten. Their facilities have not really been able to keep up with the Joneses, and that was in the Pac-12 in terms of college basketball. I do know that they are breaking ground soon on a basketball-only practice facility, which will help them kind of keep pace with a lot of these other top-tier programs. But it's going to be interesting to see how Washington handles this transition to the Big Ten, especially because they're not going to be making as much as the pre-existing members in the Big Ten, too. They're coming at a discounted rate. Sprinkle has been a hard worker wherever he has gone. We spoke to him, got good vibes from him. He sounds like a guy that is willing to put in the work, that is willing to go against the grain. It was funny because a lot of Washington fans got really sick and tired of Mike Hopkins' zone defense. We asked Danny Sprinkle, said, hey, do you plan on running the zone defense as much as your predecessor? He was like, no, we're going to go man-to-man probably about 85% of the time. And if the situation calls for it, then we might switch it up to the zone. And you could hear the exhales across the Pacific Northwest of Husky basketball fans saying, oh, thank God, we're not just going to be strictly zone anymore.
Yeah, the zone defense in 2024 with all the three-point shooting in this day and age wasn't necessarily the world's greatest plan. And we saw Washington actually have some halfway decent offense this past season. But, man,
yeah,
he just could not do a good job of being able to guard the arc. But a man that does a great job of being able to hit from distance, that would be our good friend Curtis Rogers of Dead Seattle Sports joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And always have to talk about the team that out there in the Pacific Northwest grabs the most buzz. That would be the Gonzaga Bulldogs, because I think that this is a interesting offseason for them, because Steele Venters, from all indications, sounds like he is going to be back in the fold for Gonzaga. And he was expected to be one of their top scorers from a season ago. Gets hurt prior to the start of the season. Guy that, while he was over at Eastern Washington, was a nice microwave scorer. Not going to give you a lot other than scoring, but he's a tremendous scorer. And they had Michael Ajay, who shot literally 50% from three-point range for a Pepperdine team. Remembered most for their absolute beatdown of Pacific in the WCC tournament. That was one of the most hilarious things ever. But how do you take a look at this offseason for Gonzaga? And do you think that they're going to be adding a little bit more than just a J like we've seen thus far?
Yeah, I think that this Gonzaga team is going to have a really good roster going into next season. I know they're not going to have the, you know, NBA lottery talent that they've had in years past, or guys like Drew Timmy and Corey Kispert, who were just incredible veteran presences on their roster. But this is a team, I think, that is going to be a top 10 team in the country once, you know, November rolls around. I think this team has a lot of really good pieces. You mentioned the addition of Michael Ajayi. He's from my hometown, actually, out in Kent, Washington. And it's funny because he was a guy that in high school, he was a decent prospect. He went the junior college route, upped his game, joined Lorenzo Romar at Pepperdine, who obviously Romar coached in this neck of the woods for a ton of years, and then really blossomed into, I think, a guy that is now firmly on NBA radars. And you add Ajayi, you add Venters. I mean, this Gonzaga team, it doesn't look like many guys are even flirting with the transfer portal, which I think speaks to just kind of the level of program that they've got going on over there in Spokane. It speaks to the level of commitment from their fan base and keeping these guys around. I think this Gonzaga team is going to be a lot of fun next season. This year, a down year for them, even though they made it to their ninth straight Sweet 16, extending the longest streak in America with that. Even though they finished second place in the regular season in the WCC tournament, I mean, this Gonzaga program, it is such a well-oiled machine, and I look at them next year and I say they're probably going to be the WCC favorite, and definitely a team that I would have right now as a potential Final Four candidate, especially if they're going to be preseason top 10. I mean, if you're preseason top 10, you have definitely got Final Four potential.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And with Gonzaga, they're not going to be one of those teams that is making a whole bunch of flashy moves in the transfer portal. We know that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be grabbing the attention, but with this Gonzaga team, they're able to carry over so much of what they had from a season ago. And how big do you think that it is? Because we're going to be seeing so many of these teams picking up guys in the transfer portal. We're going to be oohing and awing at it, what have you. And there's no doubt about it with regards to the new coaches over there in your neck of the woods, like Washington State, Washington, Eastern Washington. When you have a coaching change, you have no choice. You've got to bring in new players because the other guys leave because of the coaching change in general. But how big do you think that it is that there is going to be a lot of chemistry and camaraderie coming back for Gonzaga, where it's not going to be there for so many other teams?
I don't know if you can put a value on. I think that it is just so incredibly important to have any kind of camaraderie in this day and age in college basketball. It is so infrequent across the landscape. John Calipari's comments at his introductory press conference in Arkansas have been ringing in my head. He goes, I spoke to the team. We have no team because everybody's flirting in the portal, you know, like everybody at the end of the season, you got to re-recruit. And just the fact that Mark Few really didn't have to do that, and it doesn't sound like anybody's going anywhere, like that to me is going to be a huge, huge thing working in Gonzaga's favor. You know, you look at Purdue, they had a lot of guys returning this last season. UConn had a ton of guys returning this last season. So just having that familiarity with the program and not having to learn a new system right away, not having these guys that are bouncing from program to program to program where it's kind of like, okay, why are you on your fourth school in 4 years? Why are you on your third school in 4 years? You just are able to really pick up what other guys are doing. And I think Gonzaga is in a very enviable spot right now, especially compared to other teams that right now have had, let's face it, not a lot of luck in the transfer portal. So I think Gonzaga right now, in my eyes right now, they are the best team on the West Coast heading into the 2024-2025 season. Obviously, that can change. We are only on April 20th. There is still plenty of transfer portal action that can go down. But right now, I really like the Zags going into next season.
Oh, I am right there with you. And yep, there's going to be a lot of moves that are going to be made in the transfer portal. And these rosters that we see right now, they might not be the same as they are when this podcast uploads. That's how quickly things are changing in college basketball. But a man that does a great job of following up with all the changes, a man that does a great job of taking a look at this great sport is you, Curtis. And I know you've got a lot of responsibilities at this time, as I know you're doing a great job deciphering all that we're going to be getting for the NFL draft for the Seattle Seahawks. You do a great job of following the Seattle Mariners as well. So let the good people at home know what's on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, it's kind of a sports equinox up here. Everything just converging all at once. Baseball going on right now. Obviously, college basketball, talking transfer portal. Those two interviews with Danny Sprinkle and David Riley are available at seattlesports.com. Just search their names. You should be able to find those interviews. And then, yeah, you can follow along on Twitter and Instagram at @akidfromkent. And Greg, always love talking college basketball with you, even if it is just a few weeks after the NCAA tournament. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go for college basketball right now. If there was no offseason, I'd be okay with it. But unfortunately, we got to wait a few months before things really ramp up. But it's been a crazy last couple of weeks, and it's been really fun breaking it down with you.
I can tell you, I'm going through some college basketball withdrawals myself. Not having the 100 million billion game Saturdays, that's something that I always do live for, but it'll be back sooner rather than later, and Curtis is going to do a good job of holding down the fort while we do wait on that, and every single time he joins this show, lends such great insight. So big thanks to Curtis for joining me on Cuscus. It's now part of the Beast and Family podcast, and coming up next is that time podcast to give you a recap of the news and notes that we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Cusco Seats with myself, Craig Eats Peterson, now part of the Beast and Family Podcast. It was great to be joined by Curtis Rogers. He does such amazing work over at 710 Seattle Sports. Today, get a look at this great game that we all know and love. There's been a lot of coaching moves that have been made on the Pacific Northwest, more specifically the state of Washington. I know that Curtis is doing a great job of following along with all the hoopla, and every single time he joins me, he lends such good insight. So big thanks, Curtis, for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a recap of all the news and notes we saw in college basketball on Sunday. Typically, a lot of these weekends aren't necessarily such highly, shall we say, rambunctious days, but we saw quite a few big moves that did happen on Sunday. The biggest of which, in my opinion, was Jeremy Roach. He decided that he is going to be heading on over and he is going to be playing for Baylor. This is absolutely massive for the Bears. They're going to be losing a lot of that backcourt from a season ago with Jacoby Walter in the draft. And for Jeremy Roach, he was able to supply 14 points, 3.5 assists per contest while shooting 43% from three-point range. Was he a little bit hot and cold? Sure, but man, this is one of the best players out there that you're going to find in the transfer portal. He only turned the ball over about a time and a half per contest as well. He's able to, if needed to, be a little bit more of a facilitator as well. So I do think that Baylor getting themselves a really nice guard, a guy that's going to be able to come in right away and have tremendous production. This is going to be interesting. Jonathan Pierre, he was playing over at Memphis this last season, and he played for Nova Southeastern. When they won the Division II national title, just really couldn't get out there on the floor this last season over at Memphis. He was averaging right around about 2 points per contest, and he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. As a matter of fact, he made his decision. He is going to be heading on over to Belmont. He's going to be relatively close to where he was playing his college basketball before he was out there in the great state of Florida. Now he heads on over to Nashville, Tennessee, but that's it for Jonathan Pierre. When he was firing all cylinders in his sophomore year over at Nova Southeastern, he was able to put up some really nice numbers. He's a guy that's in 6'9", he's able to shoot about 40% for three, 14.5 points, 5 boards per contest. I would say very much in the mold of a Malik Dia, who they lost in the transfer portal earlier in the offseason. Someone that was 6'8", was able to pop it from three. I would say he's a little bit of a better 3-point shooter. Not necessarily a guy that's going to be absolutely tremendous on the glass or anything like that, but I do take a look at this pickup, and I do think that this is a pretty big one. I like this one as well for Iona. Clarence Rupert, he began his career out in the Metro Atlantic. He was playing for St. Peter's, the old Peacocks, when they made their Elite Eight run, and this past season while he was over at Southern Illinois, he put up some nice numbers. For Southern Illinois, he was their main rebounder, being able to supply 5.5 boards, 7.5 points per game, and now he heads on over to Iona. Iona really was lacking a lot on the boards last season. They were one of the worst rebound rate teams in all of college basketball. Rupert has tried to shoot a few threes. He really doesn't give you that versatility, but I think that Tobin Anderson looked himself in the mirror and said, you know what, we need a little bit more rebounding. When he had success at Fairleigh Dickinson, he didn't have as much size, but that was a little bit just due to necessity in general. I look at this pickup and I think that it's very good for Iona. It certainly fills a need that they had, and I do think that he's going to be able to come in right away, be that top rebounder, and be a very rock solid big man out there in the Metro Atlantic. I think that this is a tremendous pickup, as well as you got CJ Nolan. He was playing over at North Texas this last season. He's going to be heading on over to New Mexico. What New Mexico is going to be looking like in the backcourt is a little bit of a question mark, as you had that big trio from a season ago. Jalen House was absolutely tremendous. Jamal Mashburn Jr. was able to light it up along Donovan Dent. But now you've got a former top 100 recruit in CJ Nolan, who he was solid at North Texas this last season. Shot 38.5% from three, 11 points, 2 assists per contest, part of a very slow, controlled system. Now, the increase in tempo, that's a little bit of a question mark that you do have, because even while he was over at Oklahoma, it's not like Oklahoma was absolutely running it and gunning it down the floor. But I do think that he's going to be able to go in right away, be able to give this team some more stability with their three-point shooting, because New Mexico is a high-flying offense. They did a nice job not turning the ball over. They really didn't have guys that were like snipers from three. Even Jamal Mashburn Jr., he's not necessarily the world's greatest three-point shooter, so this is going to be, in my opinion, very big for them. And this is a big in-conference transfer. Connor Asesian, this last season over at Wisconsin, just could not get out there on the floor. Freshman year with Wisconsin, he was one of their top scorers. 11.5 points, shot 36% from three, 88% of the free throw line. Now, he really doesn't facilitate at all. He's a little bit of a black hole in that. You pass him the ball is probably not going to be coming out in this past season. I know that he was dealing with some back issues and just in general fell out of favor, it felt like, with the coaching staff. About 3.2 points per contest with Nebraska. I do feel like he's going to need to do a little bit more in terms of facilitation, but he's clearly a guy that's able to do a relatively solid job on defense. We saw this Wisconsin team when he was off the floor this past season. The three-point shooting perimeter defense just was not the same as when he was out there on the floor. So I do think that he's going to be able to provide a little bit of that. And that's going to be very, very important, because this bunch in Nebraska, they had a little bit of a tough time of guarding the three-point line as well. But I take a look at Connor Asesian going over to Nebraska, staying within the conference. That's a big, giant win for them and for Wisconsin. Have to wonder what they're going to be doing in the transfer portal this offseason. Xavier McLean, he was relatively solid at Columbia this last season. 9 points, shot 42.5% from three-point range. He's on over to Florida Gulf Coast. Now, for Florida Gulf Coast, they need to defend the three a little bit better, and you do have to wonder if this was a little bit of a one-hit wonder for McLean. McLean, as a freshman, shot 23.5% from three, 29.2% as a sophomore, and this year, he goes out there, shoots 42.6% from the outside. But regardless, I do think that he's going to be able to go in there. I do think that he's going to be able to do a very nice job for this Columbia program, as he was able to put up about 9 points per contest. Defense does worry a little bit, but he was able to get darn near a steal per contest as well. So I look at this pickup of Mr. McLean. I do think that it's going to be quite clean, to say the least, if you saw what I did with regards to that pun. And I do think that this is going to be a relatively solid pickup as well. Jordan Marsh, he this last season was playing over at Appalachian State. He's going to be staying out there in the Carolinas. He's going to be adding on over to UNC Asheville. And it's a good gift for a UNC Asheville team that they've done a nice job of just being able to be a little bit of a reclamation project slash be able to take guards that were maybe okay at their previous stop. Like Jordan Burgess, for example, he was over at Hofstra, was a relatively good pass for his guy, but wasn't necessarily the world's greatest fit with Hofstra. He came in there, he was able to do a rock solid job, and for Jordan Marsh's last season over at Appalachian State, he was a part of a team that played some relatively solid defense. He gave the team 6 points per contest. Not a great three-point shooter, only shot about 30% from three-point range. Would like to see that go northward a little bit, but for UNC Asheville, they've had a tough time last few seasons with regards to their defense. He's clearly a very good defender, a little bit of a work in progress on offense, but this is an Asheville unit that in general has been able to do a good job of being able to bring out the best in guys with regards to their offensive game. I do think that they're going to be able to do so here, so I think that this is a tremendous pickup for them. I do think that this is going to be a solid pickup, as well as you've got Caleb Banks. He was playing this last season over at Indiana. Well, the limited amount of minutes that he did play at Indiana, he was there at Indiana. he has decided that he is going to be going to Tulane, and we've seen Tulane take this approach quite a bit. Find some of these guys that they are at a power program, but they are really not getting too much out there on the floor, and be able to turn them into go-to guys for Banks this last season. About 2.5 points, 2 boards per contest. He's a former top 150 recruit, according to like all recruiting platforms. I think ESPN had him snuck right in there in the top 100. Didn't necessarily shoot at the world's greatest from three-point range. I still feel like he needs to figure out his overall game, but has good athleticism, has quite a bit of upside. Tulane, they're going to be banking on that, and I do think that they're banking in on something good. I think that this is going to be one of fascination, as well as we've been taking a look at Michigan, whether or not we are going to be seeing Dusty May bring in some of his own from Florida Atlantic or not. It's clear that he's not going to be bringing in Elijah Martin. Elijah Martin, he has decided that he is going to be staying within the state, and he's going to be going to Florida. Now, I will say this about Florida Atlantic. They last season were tremendous on offense, not so great on defense. Guess what Florida was? They were a bunch that they needed a little bit more three-point shooting, but it was very clear that they were doing a nice job on the glass. They had some guards that they were able to shoot moderately well, but they didn't necessarily play the world's greatest amount of defense. And for Elijah Martin, I do think that he's going to need to kick it up a little bit on that side of things. But this is a man that has been to a Final Four before, was able to log 13 points, 6 boards, shot from 3-point inches past year, only about 34% from 3. That was actually his lowest shooting percentage in his 4 years on campus over at Florida Atlantic. But I do think that he's going to be able to step up right away, be able to give this Florida team some very, very good production. They're going to be losing a bit of that backcourt from a season ago. Going to be interesting to see who all stays and goes with them, but this is very clearly a nice pickup for Florida, so good on them for being able to get that one in. You saw Jordan Butler. He, this last season, was playing over at Missouri. He has decided that he is going to be transferring within the SEC. He's going to be heading to South Carolina. He's a 7-footer that was very highly touted coming out of high school. He was a former top 150 recruit and just simply could not really get out there on the floor, as you saw this with a lot of Missouri guys. Missouri has just been a program where they've been acquiring a lot of talent, but they just had no idea how to use any of that talent. He was another guy that was ranked within the ESPN top 100 from a year or two ago. He only was able to see about 2 points per contest. I have no idea how. Missouri had quite a few guys come over besides Jordan Butler, Connor Vanover, and yet they just still got completely decimated on the glass. Apparently none of these guys just fit Dennis Gates' system, so I am very perplexed as to what was going on there this past season. But he's going to be heading on over to a South Carolina program where they did a very good job of being able to hit the glass. They did a very solid job of just being one of those holes greater than some of its parts programs as well. So I think that that is going to be of impact. What else is of impact? The must bust in the transfer portal. How about another good gift for them? St. Thomas. No, not the St. Thomas Tommy. He's out there in the great state of Minnesota. But St. Thomas, a player that was over at Northern Colorado this last season, he has decided that he is going to be committing to USC, and he was one of the best do-it-all players in all of college basketball. Now, the one thing that he didn't necessarily do was play a whole heck of a lot of defense, as Northern Colorado, always very rough in terms of their defense, but this man put up about 19.5 points, 9.8 boards, a little bit over 4 assists per contest as a 6'7", do-it-all sort of player. Now, you have to wonder how that's going to be translating over to USC, and now what is going to be the Big Ten, because they have conference realignment going on, but for St. Thomas, he flamed out a few seasons ago while he was over at Loyola Chicago. He just really couldn't find his footing. This last year in Northern Colorado, it was a system that very much suited him quite well, and I do think that this is a system that's much closer to Northern Colorado than it is Loyola Chicago, whereas Loyola Chicago, a little bit more slow, a little bit more controlled. You've got a lot of guys that are coming in for this USC team as well. The favorite guy that I like is Josh Cohn, who was able to put up darn near a double-double while he was over at UMass this last season, but they also have coming into the fold someone like a Matt Noling, Bryce Pope, Clark Slager. They've got a lot of talent on the roster. The question is, how's it all going to be able to come together? Eric Musselman has made it work in the past. Last year, he did a very bad job of being able to make it work, but I do think that the track record of Eric Musselman is one that is pretty rock solid, and this man's track record is rock solid as well. The gentleman from North Macedonia, Andrei Yagmovsky, he has decided that he is going to be going from Washington State, and he's going to be going to another school that was part of the Pac-12 this past season. He's going to be heading on over to Colorado. Very rock solid numbers this past year. 9.5 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. He joins a Colorado team that had so much success this past season because they did a really good job on the glass. Being able to bring in Eddie Lampkin for them, I thought absolutely made a world of difference. He had 6'8", is capable of popping threes, shot for his career over at Washington State about 43.5% from 3-point range, so not amazing, not terrible. He's going to be able to give you a little bit of versatility, not a ton of versatility, but if you need him to be able to man the boards, be able to give you some nice post moves, he's going to be able to do that, and he's going to be able to add to a Colorado team that's been pretty rock solid on the glass. We're noticing a lot of inter-ACC transfers. We've been seeing this really the past 2 years, and Wacky Zacky, Jaden Zachary, he's going to be going from Boston College, and he's going to be heading on over to Clemson. He was very good this past season over at Boston College at being able to dole out the ball. He had to really remake himself because as a freshman, when he was over at Boston College, his main thing was popping it from three-point range. Freshman year, shot 47.5% from three. This past year, he still shot 40% from three, but he was able to give a lot of facilitation as well. 4.2 assists and 2 turnovers per contest. Boston College was one of the best teams at not turning the ball over this past season in all of college basketball. And I think that he fits this Clemson style very perfectly. Boston College and Clemson's offense, maybe I'm just speaking out of turn here, but from everything I've seen, they've got some relatively similar tendencies. I think that he is going to be able to have himself a very nice season, so that is going to be massive for them. How about Michigan? They lose out on Elijah Martin, but they're bringing in Trey Donaldson. Trey Donaldson was very good over at Auburn this past season. I know that he, along with Aiden Hollowell, they were competing for minutes, and when it came to Donaldson, he really won out towards the back half of the season. He was the guy that was getting a lot of those minutes this past season, was able to put up only about 6.5 points per contest, but was the team's main facilitator with about 3.2 assists per contest. When he needed to shoot, he was able to do so. Shot 41% from three. Michigan is probably going to ask him to be doing a little bit more on volume this season, but I do think that him going on over to the Dusty May style, I think that that's going to be very good for him. And you take a look at what Michigan has done thus far. They have been very active in the portal. Still very perplexed that nobody from Florida Atlantic has been landing quite yet, but they bring in the 7-footer in Danny Wolf. They've also got a guy in Reuben Jones who's able to light it up from three. He comes in from North Texas. So I do look at this Michigan recruiting hall so far pretty good. Would like to see them maybe be able to get a little bit more in terms of a guy that's able to be a bit more of like a 6'8" wing sort of guy. I think that that is going to be big for this team moving forward, but I do think that that is going to be relatively solid for Michigan. Then out there in the Big Ten, you saw Felix Opara decide that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Not a big man that's going to be going out there stretching the floor, popping a lot of threes or anything like that, but he is very good at being just a good rim protector in general. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be wanting his services. 6.5 points, 6.5 boards per contest, but the biggest thing, those 2.4 blocks per contest doing so, all while being able to stay out of foul trouble relatively well as well. So I do think that whoever is going to be able to land him, I think that they're going to be making a very, very good move, and this is going to be an interesting one. Joe Hubert, he unfortunately just wasn't able to get out there on the floor for Colorado. With Colorado, they bring in Andre Yagmoski. They lose Hubert, hopefully I say that correctly, and he's going to be heading on over to Davidson. Davidson was very lackluster on the glass, and Davidson, they were lackluster on the glass all while not being able to shoot it well from three-point range. With Hurlburt, he just was unable to get out there on the floor in general. I don't think that he scored a single point in the game this past season. He was a guy that was like a little bit of a preferred walk-on slash last guy that was on the roster sort of type, but for Davidson, they just need to remake this roster in any way possible because it clearly was a little bit of a disaster. They knock off, I believe it was Clemson earlier in the season, and then that really set them up for a big giant disaster moving forward. So going to be interesting to see what is going to be happening there, but I do think that he can come into Davidson and be able to do a little bit of good for them. Jason Edwards, he was the top scorer over at North Texas this last season, was able to put up 19 points per contest. He has decided that he is going to be going to Vanderbilt, and I do think that he is going to be able to fit this system very, very well with Vanderbilt. Mark Byington, who he runs a little bit of an up-tempo, very exciting style. He very clearly needs to bring in just guys that are able to shoot in general. Now, the biggest thing for Jason Edwards, is he going to be able to adapt to a school that plays a little bit more up-tempo? And that's a question really with a lot of these Vanderbilt transfers. They bring in Jalen Carey, who was over at James Madison this past season, but that said, Grant Huffman was a part of a Davidson team that wasn't up-tempo. Virginia Tech, you've got two guys coming in from there, MJ Collins, Alon Tyler Nickel. Virginia Tech has never been an up-tempo system as well, and for Mark Byington, when he was over at James Madison, that was a team that was in the top 30 nationally with regards to total possessions per game. So I do have to wonder if Byington is going to be slowing things down a little bit, but when it comes to Edwards, he was a real deal. One of the top junior college players in all of college basketball a few seasons ago, came in, gave the team 19 points, shot over 80% the free throw line, Didn't necessarily give you a lot in terms of rebounding, what have you, but he was able to be a go-to scorer, something that I feel like Vanderbilt has really been lacking in recent years ever since they lost Scottie Pippen Jr., and I do think that they're going to be able to fill the void with that. How about Sincere Harris? He was playing over at Illinois this past season. He has decided that he is going to be going on over to West Virginia, and for West Virginia, you've got DeVries Square doing a very solid job of being able to hit the transfer portal. I just love saying DeVries Square, by the way, but now you've got a pair of guys that come in from Illinois, Armani Hansberry. He was a very much a backup guy for them, and now you bring in Harris, who was a pretty highly touted guy coming out of high school in the class of 2022, was rated as a top 100 guy, just was unable to get out there on the floor this past season as freshman when I was over at Illinois. Shot about 32% from three, 3.5 points, nearly a steal per contest. At 6'4", needs to work on his offensive game. Very clearly is a little bit of a better defender as of right now. And I do think that West Virginia is going to be taking on sort of that Drake identity, because a lot of guys for Drake, they're able to shoot it relatively well from three-point range, but at the same time, they're also able to do a very rock-solid job of being able to tee up. They're always one of the better teams with regards to three-point shooting defense in all of college basketball. Harris, in my opinion, certainly fits the bill for that, so I think that this is a textbook Mr. DeVries sort of get. This is a very, very good get, by the way, for Ido. Ido has been just sort of wandering in the wilderness the last few seasons, haven't gotten a lot going. Now they bring in Isaiah Brickner, who is a part of one of the best defenses in all of college basketball. Marist wasn't necessarily a great offensive player, but he averaged over the last two seasons right around about 2.5 assists per contest. Not afraid to go in there, grab a few rebounds with about 4.5 boards per contest at right in the neighborhood, about 6'4". I do think that he's going to be able to do a nice job, and he goes back to the West Coast. Actually, a kid from the great state of California, being able to bring in someone like this that is going to be able to help out an Idaho team that was just absolutely awful on defense last few seasons. I think that this is massive for them and a little bit of a change for the better for them. This is going to be a solid change for this man as well. RJ Green, he was last year playing over at LIU Long Island, and he's decided that he is going to be transferring within the NEC. He's going to be heading on over to Wagner, and it's going to be interesting to see if Green can go through a little bit of just a philosophy shift, because last season, Long Island, they weren't necessarily the world's worst defense, but very, very clearly was not a defense that was necessarily lighting the world on fire or anything like that. And now he heads on over to a Wagner program that they just do nothing but preach defense. Defense is what it's all about over at Wagner, and he should be able to give this team just a little bit more offensive pop. Now, he's not a guy that's going to go out there, light it up from three-point range in two seasons over at Long Island. Shot about 29.5% from three, which, hey, for Wagner, that's not too bad, but did a nice job hitting the boards with about 8 boards per contest. Wagner just flat out ran out of bodies in general, but this is the textbook sort of Wagner sort of guy that they're looking to bring in. He's got a little bit of size at 6'6". He's able to be relatively shifty. He's able to be relatively versatile, so I do think that he's going to be able to go in, and he's going to be able to fit this program very, very well. I think that this is also a relatively solid fit as well, as you did see Jeremiah Hernandez. He was playing this last season over at Southern Indiana. He's going to be staying out there in the Midwest. He's going to be heading on over to Ball State. For Hernandez, he was with a Southern Indiana team that lost darn near everything from a season ago, and he went in there and he just absolutely tore it up in the OVC. About 17.5 points per contest, only shot about 32% per three. Season before at Southern Indiana, on a much lighter volume load, he was able to shoot more like 42% from three-point range, but he's able to generate a few steals. Guys around him didn't necessarily help him out on the defensive side of things, but he's got some nice versatility at about 6'4". He's able to guard multiple positions. He did a little bit of a better job of handling the ball this season. Not a guy that would turn the ball over like flat, and did begin his career over there in the MAC as well. He actually began his career over at Kent State, so I do think that this is a great pickup for them. And then a really good gift for Loyola Marymount as well. MJ Amy, he was the top scorer over at San Jose State this last season, stuffed the stat sheet with about 15.5 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, shot 36% from 3. Left a lot to be desired on the defensive side of things, but a very good offensive player, and did generate about a steal and a half per contest, masqueraded the fact that he didn't guard the arc at all. But that said, he has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Loyola Marymount. If Loyola Marymount can just form a little bit of better defense, if they can be a bit more rock solid on that side of things, this is going to be absolutely tremendous with MJ Amy. He was a nice go-to scorer for a San Jose State team that, I mean, the coach is someone that I like. You have Tim Miles in the fold, you know that you're always going to get a good effort out of him. But that said, if he can improve a little bit on the defensive side of things, you're, in my opinion, looking at something with Loyola Marymount, and this was big with Amari Williams, who he's currently entered in the NBA draft, but he is maintaining his eligibility as of right now. He decided that he is going to be committing to Kentucky. He was able to, at Drexel last season, be a very rock-solid defender, 12 points, 8 boards, 2 blocks. He's able to give you a steal per contest. Not a guy that's going to be really stretching the floor or anything like that, but going to be really interesting to see what he does moving forward. I am anticipating him actually going to Kentucky because, once again, I've said this before on the podcast, and I will say it again. These guys that they decide where they're going to be going to in the transfer portal and are entered in the NBA draft, typically you're not deciding where you're going to be going to in the transfer portal if you're not thinking that there's a good possibility that you're actually going to be staying in school. I'm just going to throw that out there, but that's at a very, very good land for Kentucky. You've got to anticipate Mark Pope is going to be bringing in a lot of guys, and have to anticipate even more of these Kentucky guys that were there the previous season, probably going to be heading on over to Arkansas like Big Z did. So we've got a little bit of movement there, but we've got a lot of movement in college basketball right now. We have got well north of 1,700 players in the transfer portal, and I'm doing my level best to keep everything straight for you guys, as it is a labor of love. It is very, very difficult to try to make sense out of all this, but I'm going to do my best throughout the offseason to try to make this the most profitable year in college basketball ever. And if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, do have one of two ways we are farthest in. First one is my Twitter /XIMLion at GNN_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So, as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And big thanks once again to our good friend Curtis Rogers, who does great work over at 710 Seattle Sports, for joining me in the live segment, coming at you guys every single day on this podcast, regular season and postseason. So I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.